It's the Weekend Witness. Give half a call on 1300 652 927 and tell him what you witnessed.
Yeah, let us know what you saw. 1300 652 927. That's what we're doing on a Monday morning after a big sporting weekend from 7 o'clock every week on the program. Get your digits dialing and tell us what you saw. That's what we want to hear from you. Lots to talk about, and lots of people have seen lots of stuff, even off the SMS. Some action coming through as well. Before we get to calls, I want to hear from Alistair Clarkson. He, of course, led the Kangaroos to their first victory of the season over the West Coast Eagles on Saturday. And he was talking about here the role that Harry Sheasel, our man, who we had in studio prior to the draft, had at halfback instead of forward. Let's have a listen to Clarko.
But he did give us a little bit of that class, and we didn't have that against the Dogs a couple of weeks ago, and then we put him there in the last quarter. We just thought to ourselves, well, we'll use him in that role again. Now, where he actually settles, I'm not too sure, but I reckon he might be starting at halfback next week.
34 disposals for young Harry on debut. It was an absolute clinic from the young man. He kicked 5 in a practice game when he was scratchy a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's playing at halfback and dominating against the West Coast Eagles. Don't tell me players can't adapt and have to train in certain positions. They're more than capable, these blokes. I like to see a few magnets being flipped by coaches. Good stuff from Clarko, and well done to Harry Sheasel. What a debut for that young man. Fair to say, we might see a Rising Star nomination for him very, very shortly. 1-300-652-927 is the number to call. Sue is in Moonda to kick it off today for us on the Weekend Witness. Good morning, Sue.
Yes, good morning, Hub. I'd like to ask you your opinion, being, of course, in the media you are, and your panel. What is your opinion about Channel 7 not replaying time and time and time again the disastrous break of Jeremy Howe's arm?
So not replaying it?
That's right, yes. I mean, like in the old days, it's probably a dramatic term, but TV channels on the football used to indulge in injury porn.
Yes. Sue, that's one of the great terms I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, thank you.
you're right.
You know what we mean? You see the same dreadful thing,
yep.
Or dreadful being in the right term,
yep.
Over and over, and then all the commentators are saying, oh, isn't this awful? We'll look at it again. Isn't it dreadful? We'll look at it from the spectator side.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan Lewis, he was at the game. It would be interesting to hear. You know, he saw it probably. I'm sure he saw it.
Yep.
And it seemed ghastly. All the commentators did not elaborate. And so it must have been really bad. But that, to me, is a change in the attitude of, you know, like, oh, the big hits and all this type of thing.
Yep.
But that was just so bad. And it was also Howe's body reacting to when he hit the ground in the split second that it did happen, that we saw on TV. And I just think it was quite refreshing.
Yeah, no, well,
we did not see this young man in agony,
yeah,
time and time again.
I'm more than okay with it, Sue. I think it's actually really good. And Jordan's here. We might try and get him to squeeze in and have a bit of a chat about that. I think it's a good thing, Sue, that we don't replay those incidents, particularly when it's quite graphic and a bit harrowing to a degree as well, to see someone do what Jeremy Howe did to himself. I don't think we need to be seeing those things over and over again. Now, you see it once, you might see it a second time, but I don't think we need to be seeing it over and over again. And that's often what happens when they're delaying the game too, Sue. There's not too much else that they do, so they just keep replaying the bloody incident, which is most unsavoury at times. So I think it's a real step forward in the broadcast. Jordan Lewis was there, as you said, Sue, and he's jumped in early doors here for us on a Monday morning. Good morning, Jordan.
Morning, Half. Morning, Sue.
Now, Sue's talking about injury porn, Jordan.
Yeah, I got a good chuckle out of that. but I think she's right, and we... We were in it at Fox at the time, and we asked the producers what would they do, because there is no set rule to say, hey, this is the injury, this is quite graphic, do we show it or do we not?
Yep.
And I think the consensus was we would rather not show it than show it. I mean, people, if they're lucky enough to have Fox at home, they can rewind it and rewatch it if they wanted to.
They really want to, yeah. But
I think for thinking about the player, thinking about their family and friends at home, I think it's in the best interest of everyone not to show it at that particular point if it is as graphic as the Jeremy Howe one.
Yeah. I agree. So that's one of the great calls, and we'll remember that term for the rest of my days in media injury porn. Thank you, Sue. You're in the running for the $500 for your local sporting club. Well done for you. 1-300-652-927. Craig is in Mount Martha. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Half. Yeah, great to have the footy back going again, and great first round. I'm sort of banging on. It's what I saw and what I actually heard on the weekend. It was I'm banging on about the umpires again. Now there's four of them, and you hear them all the time, the whistles. But there was one stage, I think, in the Geelong game where the umpire adjudicated on a decision. He blew his whistle, and I think I counted seven times he blew his whistle after that for various reasons before the play went on again. So, you know, my question is it ideal with the four umpires? I know it's this year, but is there enough room in the umpires' rooms to fit them all? and lastly, can the AFL seriously do a turnaround if they think it's, you know, taking away from the spectacle? You know, mid-year I'm talking about. So I just think the old adage, they should be seen and not heard, and they just play too big a role for my enjoyment in watching the spectacle.
I wonder if that's consistent through the audience. Craig, let us know. 1-300-652-927 or 0416905052. I must admit, I'm not prepared to go too deep into them after one round of footy. But it was funny, talk about blowing the whistle. There was an incident on, I can't remember which game I was watching, but it was the MCG, one of those games. And the umpire was calling the player's name. He got a free kick and was just trying to get him the ball back and let him know it was his and get over your mark and that sort of thing. And I reckon he blew it five times in 20 seconds. And he was only 10 metres away. And the player couldn't hear him. So he had to keep blowing his whistle to get some sort of attention. So those sort of things happen as well through the games where they're just trying to get a bit of control of the game and let the players know exactly what should be happening. So I don't think we need to go over the top on the assessment of that. But the four umpire thing is going to be a watch. There's no doubt, Craig. There's no doubt. But I'm not prepared to burn them just yet after one round. But we'll bring that up with Jordan a little bit later on as well. We'll talk about the four umpires through the journey. Thank you for your call. 1-300-652-927 off the SMS. What about this? The Box Hill Reporter Cricket Association had a tied grand final between Kunung and Mitcham yesterday. Both teams declared premiers. Absolute rubbish. Well, that's very interesting. I would have... The only other way you get around that, I suppose, is having a little super over type number. Al, what would you do if you were a league official at the Boxer Reporter Cricket Association? You had a tie in the grand final. What do? Do you go to super over or do you give it to the higher ranking team?
I don't really care. I'm just surprised we haven't done a poll to see whether there should be ties in grand finals.
Well, that's coming. That's what the apprentice is sort of, when he has lazy days, he comes up with that stuff.
What are you? You're a classy veteran of the suburban cricket competition.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I think I would have thought that the higher ranking team would have been given the premiership.
I think so.
But I don't think that's a right outcome in a game of cricket these days, in a grand final. I think we need a result, don't we? We need a result. So maybe, I don't know.
Super over.
Yeah, I think super over. How exciting would that be? Oh. How exciting would a super over be after 80 overs each to get to a super over, because you can't split the teams after 160
If you put it to both teams, including the higher ranking team, do you want to decide this via super, assuming it's in, you know, do you think they'd go for it?
Oh, that's a bloody good question. The higher-ranking team would have more to lose, clearly.
Correct. It's a bit of a free hit for the
opposition, isn't it? It's a free
hit for
the team coming in underneath. That's a very interesting question. But I think it's a great... It should be taken out of their hands.
Because you're right. On one hand, they've got the safety net of, with the higher-ranking team, we've won the grand final. But at the same time, as you said, they probably don't want to win it
that way. Win it,
you want to actually win it.
Yeah. Well, I think there might be something to that. Great SMS. Thank you for that. I witnessed Mitch Marsh hitting's last night was unbelievable. Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah, I mentioned that before, that we did a bit of a number on India with the ball, Mitch Marsh went to work at the top of the order, 66 off 36. Having said that, Travis Head's 51 off 30 wasn't too bad either. It's just that Mitch hit six sixes as a part of his 66. A lot of sixes there when you talk about that. It's for like Kenny Callender.
It's a bit of a setup.
It's a bit of a setup. Six is a 66th one. the Prez is on the line. He wants to talk about the umpiring as well. Hello, Prez.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Going well.
I've got two, but I'm with my man down in Mount Martha, Craig. I really thought it was not a great spectacle with the four umpires there at the MCG yesterday. And what's the criteria like for success? Is it more free kicks, less free kicks? Like what is this? How are they going to determine if it's a success or not?
Well, I imagine when they review the... Well, no, I know they review the games every week and every game gets reviewed by the umpires from a coaching perspective. So success is the right decision more often than not.
Well,
that's success.
I saw a lot of things get missed. No different to any other week. And so I don't know. A lot of free kicks got missed again yesterday.
Yeah, and I just think it's such a difficult game to umpire and get everything like right. And we see great angles on TV and replays and all that sort of stuff. So we get a bit better access to the game. And we get to see it in helicopter view with an aerial approach, and we cannot ever underestimate how much simpler the game is from a high vantage point to watch and officiate and umpire and pick options and all that sort of stuff from a spectator's perspective. Living it in 3D at ground level when they're all the bodies at the same level, it's a much more difficult contest. And that's what the umpires are having to deal with as well every week. So despite the fact that there is four and they're trying to get better angles and more angles covered with more umpires, there are still going to be lots of incidents during the game that in certain people's eyes will be incorrect or correct depending on who you barrack for. So I think there's a layer of that, Prez, which we should never underestimate. Yeah. But success would be the right decisions more often.
Right. Well, they're not off to a good start. Now, a little thing. It's just so second round of the Berwick Monchino Club Championships on Saturday. And,
oh, yes.
Of course, it's stroke, half when you're playing club championships.
Yes.
And the little master, as he's self-named himself, just six putts. Had a little six putter on the I think it was the sixth hole, par four. Just six putts. So good morning,
putts.
To the little master.
That's a great little drive-by from the Prez to the little master. He's had six putts on the fourth. That's bad areas from the little master. He's had a mare. What we also witnessed on the weekend was the mighty Melbourne Vixens going down to in the grand final rematch to the West Coast Fever by 162-61. So they'll be still annoyed that the West Coast Fever have their measure just at the minute. But early season, of course, round one action in Super Netball. The Vixens lost, but the Magpies got the job done over the Swifts, 71-63. And I do want to... I want to actually do this a bit more in depth, but the performance by the Redcliffe Dolphins in the NRL is quite staggering. And I know it's a little bit easier when you're able to go and get some serious talent like the Dolphins have done in their first season in charge, but Wayne Bennett's ability to get this team up and running quickly and cohesive as quickly as done it has been nothing short of phenomenal. They're 3-0. 3-0, the Dolphins, sitting equal top of the table with the Broncos at the moment. And I don't think anyone would have expected that. So that is a story that's unfolding in Australian sport as well, the performance of the Redcliffe Dolphins. Well done to Wayne Bennett. We'll be keeping an eye on them. The mighty Melbourne Storm didn't have much go their way, and a lack of effort has annoyed Craig Bellamy, which I'm sure we'll talk about through the week as well. 7:21. Back with more shortly.